I'm so great I can be part of it and that so many people are able to do this. If it's 200, 300, 400, 500 kilometers per day, day in, day out, to go through a whole continent to live this freedom. And it's just, it feels so huge and so great.
Welcome to the Lost Dot podcast and the 12th edition of the Transcontinental Race, supported by our race partners, Albion, Apadura, Curve, POC, Supernova, Ride with GPS, and Peak Design. Day 11 at TCO number 12, and in the early hours, Robin Gamperla, cap number one, became a two-time winner of the Transcontinental Race. We're going to start this episode by fast-forwarding to the afternoon and the second and third riders to reach Kalamata. Last year, Nicolas Châtelet, cap 126, got off to a fantastic start, but faded. This year, in the second half of the race, he was the only rider able to put any pressure on Robin at the front. In the early afternoon, Nicolas is the second rider to roll into the finish line, taking second position on the podium. Race reporter Jake Thorpe is waiting for him.
How do you feel?
Oh, good. I am bad to its finish because I'm in a good mood.
Since you can ride on if you like.
Yeah. I'm very good. So then the last day, I'm so good.
Yeah.
So
you really look like you were getting stronger and stronger all race.
Yeah. The night before the border closed, I hope to go to Robin. Because I win a lot of time on him, and I'm in a good vibe. I'm able to make a night without sleep, and I say, "Oh, if he sleep, it's not impossible." But the border, I sleep on the floor, a very bad night with the dog, and it's the beauty of Transcontinental. And Robin, felicitations. It's a very, very big champion.
You've definitely given him a run for his money in this last stretch. You've not made it easy for him.
No. I'm happy for him, really.
While Nicolas gets some well-earned time off the bike, the next person expected at the finish is Jocelyn Roth, cap 114. At 5:45, he caps a hugely impressive ride with a third and final podium spot.
It's funny because I thought in when we did the parkour, I thought I could get the third place there. But Jos was super strong, and then he was super consistent, and we had exactly the same rhythm. Like, we were sleeping at the same place, having like the same hours. It was crazy. We were exactly on schedule both. And then when I had the intuition that I could do the third place is when I went through Patras and I just saw Jos on sleeping on the bench, and I was like, "Ah, actually, he's here." And so I started riding a bit, and then I saw that Martin was also sleeping. And I was like, "I could take a head start." I think this route is unique in the sense that it has everything. Like, Transcontinental is the race because you have not only the cyclists, but you have the routing, you have actually everything, and you need to prepare 100% to perform. And I loved it, but it's a lot of commitment.
Let's leave the finish line and head back across Europe to race reporter Sophie Potter and the team in Control Car 2.
Good morning, everyone. From Control Car number 2, we woke up earlier than usually today to get the best light for Sam, our photographer, and we set an alarm at 5 to see which rider would be there and if there would be a rider where we wanted to be, because we were there yesterday. We checked if there was a beautiful landscape, and there was, and the light is beautiful this morning. The sun is out now, So Sam has an hour and a half to enjoy such a beautiful and quiet morning. And yeah, running there at half past five with an empty stomach in my Birkenstock was not the best experience, but I had a really nice chat, so it was worth it. Oh, and also, yesterday I was in my hotel taking a shower and a rider just arrived at the door of the hotel, so I had to finish my shower really fast, get dressed, get down. My mic is always with me, even when I go to the shower, so I was able to interview him. And yeah, so they have no sense of privacy, let me tell you, no sense of privacy. I'm joking, obviously, and I have my breath back. But yeah, so today in Contra number 2, we gonna stay a bit around where we are. So we're still at the border between Serbia and Montenegro. The place is really beautiful. It's like ups and down. We are at in a plateau, which is like 1200 meters of elevation. There, riders yesterday said that it was really good because they are above the, like they are in altitude, so the temperature is less hot during the day. They have to climb a bit, but after, like, the temperature is better and the views are just magnificent. So there is, it's really like the Balkan vibe. This is how I picture Balkan. I've been here before, but this is exactly, yeah, how it was in my mind. Field, small houses, people on tractor, a lot of farming around, not with like huge machinery. It's beautiful. So it's gonna be a long day. All right, let's get back on the road.
Soon after, the team caught up with a few riders, including Florian Thiessen, cab 165, who last night found himself an unexpected guest at a special celebration.
Had an adventurous evening.
Oh, God.
Yeah. I wanted to check into a hotel. They were fully booked. Then the owner of the hotel phoned one of his friends, who was at a wedding. So we went to the wedding, and his friend just gave me a set of keys, and so I ended up having a room which was fine. Yeah,
we didn't stay to dance at the wedding.
No, I was feeling very smelly and dirty. I just wanted to have a shower and lie down.
Yeah, that makes sense. Are you starting to picture the end or the number of days you have left?
Yeah, I'm doing the math in my head, like the mind games. 3 days, 3.5 days, stuff like that.
It feels the most reachable, huh?
Yeah. I mean, the distance that's left is more what you're kind of used to when you're going on long rides. Like, from here it must be like a bit more than 1,000 k, I guess, in normal circumstances. They're very much doable in 3 days, but
you will see.
We will see, yeah.
Sophie also catches up with Josh Ibbett, cap 101. Josh is a former TCR winner and has spent the best part of 15 years at the pointy end of ultra races. But a really nasty reaction to a bee sting set his race back at TCR number 12, which means he's racing much further back in the field than usual. Sophie asks him about the changing nature of ultra racing.
Are you not really used to being that far back, no?
Not really, no. Normally, like, I'm never at the front nowadays. I think those days are long gone. Especially in TCR by the looks of it. But yeah, I'm basically 24 hours back from, well, maybe not quite 24, but 21, 22 hours I was stopped, which is annoying, but it's fine. To be honest, I don't think I've even got slower. I think it's just the level of the sport's grown.
Mm.
Like my first TCR was thinking about it earlier, 12 years ago. 2014, I think. It's 12 years ago, wasn't it? And the level now, just look at the top 10. I mean, like when I won in 2015, it was, I was looking at the times, before, like the daily distances before, and you'd be lucky to get in the top 10 now.
Oh, yeah.
And I won by 30 hours. So, I mean, that just puts it in perspective.
Really interesting.
The improvement. And you just can't waste time. Like, I kind of didn't get going very well at the start and didn't get the ferry I necessarily wanted. And then already there's like 8 hours. And
yeah.
And then everything else happens, so.
Yeah.
But it's still the TCR and still quite a cool journey, isn't it?
It is.
This is the reward, this section.
But I mean, you have one mission, I think. And it's get chocolate.
Exactly.
For someone really special.
I'm nearly there, so if I don't get to Greece, I'm in big trouble.
Yeah, she's going to be really disappointed.
Yeah, exactly, and she'll tell me, so.
Do you picture yourself already in Greece buying chocolate for your daughter or not?
Not yet, because we're not, still a way to go. Everything can happen.
At 11 a.m. today, Control Point 2 in Slovakia will officially close. This means any rider not there by then will be out of general classification at TCR number 12. Control Manager Chris is there to greet those final few riders, pushing hard to make the cutoff time. In safely is Martin Lau, Cap 339.
How does it feel having come from all the way from Trondheim in Norway to like the baking heat, or the beginnings of the baking heat of mainland Europe?
I know, it's a crazy notion, I must say. The distance is extraordinary, and cycling yesterday, it actually got really hot.
Mm.
I had to kind of stop for water and Gatorade and so on quite a few times. So yeah, a huge contrast, and kind of lovely seeing this in one event.
Mm.
Clearly also a challenge in terms of kind of packing kind of warm clothing and something for the warmth.
Is this your first TCR?
Yes, my very first TCR.
So what are your reflections on it as an event as a whole?
Yeah, really fantastic. I mean, I hope to get to the finish in time for the finish party. And yeah, just really looking forward now to the next sections. I mean, for me, this whole TCR route is amazing because I haven't been to most of the countries we are visiting. So I think that is quite well. What I perhaps had underestimated is just the time one spent cycling. I'm fairly slow cyclist, so really there's hardly any downtime.
Mm-hmm.
Another rider to reach CP2 before 11 a.m. to remain in GC is Peter Corkhill, Cap 147.
How are you feeling?
Well, relieved. Yeah, I've lived to fight another day. I've noticed that I've taken the path less travelled by on a lot of my route choices. And that's possibly slowed me down. For example, I came a different way to parkour to B than I think most people, which involved coming along paths that didn't really exist.
Right.
But yeah, I'm very pleased to be here. I'm sure like most people, my emotions are seesawing like mad. And, you know, there are times when I think, should I be trying to see if I can get a box for Colour March? And there are times when I think I'm not going to make it. So, yeah, Sarajevo, I think, will be a blast. You know, it's one of these places you hear about but I've never been to. And
What are you doing to be kind to yourself?
I'm eating, I think, is the main thing. Just eating constantly.
Mm.
I don't know if that's being kind to myself, but I think it's what allows me to keep going.
Yeah.
With time running out, the very last rider to reach CP2 before cutoff is Alexander Latham-Bowl, Cap 241. He's given everything, and the achievement, it's all a bit much.
Alex, you're likely to be the last person through the CP on time. Are you... How are you feeling about that? You chuffed? Been tough, yeah? Yeah. Okay, man. It's like it's a hard race. It's a hard race. You've done really well. You're here on time. This is a good thing.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. It's fine. I've done TCRs before, and I've cried on both of them. All three of them. All three of them made me cry at one point or another. You know.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's normal. It's like there's a lot going on in your head. There's a lot going on in the race.
Just a few days, I think.
Yeah. High emotions. Yeah.
I think it's a few days of pushing really hard.
Yeah.
And concentrating and going.
Is this your first TCR?
It is, yeah.
Is it what you expected?
Yeah, parkour's harder than I thought.
Mm-hmm.
But the road bits are fine.
Right.
Oh gosh, it's a test, isn't it?
It's a test of physical and mental strength.
It's what you want.
And
good.
You've done really well.
Cheers.
The time comes, and one of our control point volunteers, Peter, makes it official.
It's a day 10 of the TCR, 11 o'clock, and the CP2 is now closed.
When a control point closes, there always has to be a first rider to arrive post-cutoff. At CP2, that rider is Michael Grobe, Cap 39.
So crazy because I was in the city and shopping because I think it's 15 kilometers to the checkpoint, but it's not 60.
But it's a hill,
to the checkpoint.
And will you ride to the next checkpoints for a finish?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
Good. Is this your first TCR?
Yes.
So for the next one?
Yeah.
Fewer mistakes.
I-64.
That's good.
My wife says that this is the last.
With the control point closed, CP manager Chris hops on his bike and shares some thoughts on his own TCR experience.
This is Chris Wright outside his favourite coffee shop in Dolny Cubin, in just outside of Parkour 2B. CP closed about 3 or 4 hours ago, and I'm now cycling from CP2 back home to Scotland most of the way. First time volunteering at a checkpoint, being a checkpoint manager with some excellent volunteers and the company of Veronica, the photographer, is very welcome. Very happy with my volunteering with Lost Dot. I've volunteered at the start line, I've been race investigator several times, and I've also raced 3 times and been successfully raced twice. Yeah, TCR has a special place, and I think it always will in the ultra cycling community. And that's me signing off and heading home. Cheers, bye.
Riding your bike for a very long time over very long distances can play havoc with all sorts of bodily happenings. Here's Sophie with another Sophie Explains.
One thing I've heard this week is riders saying my hands are numb or I lost my strength in my grip. So what is happening here? Well, I think it's time for another Sophie Explains. Today, the nerves. First of all, what exactly is a nerve? Think of it as your body's internal cable. Inside every nerve, there are thousands of tiny nerve fibers bundled together. Their job is to carry messages between your brain and the rest of your body. Those messages are tiny electrical signals traveling along the nerve. Some fibers carry motor signals that tell your muscle what to do. So brake, shift gears, scratch your nose. And other fibers carry sensory signals. They tell your brain what your body is feeling, so pressure, temperature, pain, gravel section. Without nerves, your brain couldn't control your muscles and your body couldn't tell your brain what was happening. But why do cyclists end up with numb hands? People often say they have pinched a nerve, but that's not exactly what's happening. Imagine the nerves, those internal cables, running through a very narrow tunnel. After hours leaning on the handlebars and thousands of tiny rod vibrations, the tissues around the nerve become irritated and they start to swell. The cable itself is still working perfectly, but the tunnel becomes smaller, so the nerve becomes compressed and suddenly those messages don't travel as well anymore. Basically, the signal Wi-Fi is low. So what does it actually feel like? Because nerves carry information in both directions, you don't just lose feeling, you can also lose strength. That's why some riders struggle to feel the handlebar, while others notice they cannot grip it properly anymore. It can also cause tingling, burning sensations, or those little electric shocks that shoot through your fingers. Although cyclists usually notice it in their hands or feet, nerves can actually become compressed almost anywhere along their path, including around the neck or shoulder. This is not at all unique to cycling. Doctors have even a name for one very common example, honeymoon palsy. Someone falls asleep with their partner's head resting on their arm, the tissues compress the nerve for hours, and they wake up unable to properly feel or even lift their hand. But why is cycling so good at causing it? Because riders spend hours putting pressure on exactly the same part of their hands. 1,000 of road vibration, very little recovery, and sometimes 12 to 20 hours on the bike is the perfect recipe for nerve compression. The good news is that nerve compression can recover, sometimes after a few hours, sometimes after a few days, and after a big ultra, it can even take weeks to months. So, what can a rider do about it? Well, riders are constantly changing hand position, and that's not a coincidence. Almost all of them are using aero bars, not just to be more aerodynamic, but to take pressure off their hands. Some wear padded gloves, add gel pads, and personally, I double wrap my bar tape around the curves of my handlebars to add a bit more cushioning. And a good bike fit can make a huge difference by reducing pressure on the nerves in the first place. If the symptoms don't go away, the treatment usually isn't about fixing the nerve, it's about removing whatever is compressing it. That might mean taking a break from the bike, doctors may recommend anti-inflammatory medication or specific nerve gliding exercises. And in the most severe cases, surgery may be needed to create more room around the nerve. So the next time you see a rider constantly moving their hands around the handlebar, they are probably not just trying to get comfortable, they are making sure that their body internet's cable still have enough room to work, because there is nothing worse than a bad Wi-Fi.
Let's stay with Sophie and Control Team 2 as they continue to seek out riders by the border between Serbia and Montenegro. Sophie runs into Manuel Feldbaumer, Cap 39, who somehow broke a wheel a few days ago. He's since had it replaced, but it's led to some reflection on what a successful race looks like.
Ah, you've got everything sorted, huh? Well done.
Yeah, eventually. I mean, I lost a few places, which I'm a bit sad about. But yeah, that was a big push of motivation in the end. So I really had a lot of power then, because obviously I had
the frustration.
A big frustration, but also I had a very nice recovery, like 10 hours sleep that night. Yeah. And like every time I woke up, I add something. So my legs were not completely fresh again, but as good as they could have been, I think.
Yeah. So you're looking at the ranking.
Yes.
No, but...
I mean, first of all, you have to finish, yeah, right?
Yes, indeed.
But I trained hard, and I actually want to do well. So
everyone has different definition of well. Well, it could be like just finish.
Yeah.
Well, it could be in the top 10.
Absolutely.
Top 30, some.
I mean, top 10, top 20 would have never been an issue, but like top 30 would have been nice. But now it's all about finishing as good as possible, despite all the circumstances. But yeah, looking good.
Dina Byland and Christian Dupraz, caps 424 A and B, were leading the pace category for several days, but they've lost time due to mechanical issues. That means our new leaders are Remy Majon and Marguerite Mulhouse, caps 414 A and B, who remain firmly focused on having a great time.
I know you guys did TCR last year, finished quite well, but you have even more high expectation for this year, I guess. How is it going so far? Have you maybe looked at trackers or...?
Not that much. We didn't came with more expectation than last year because we had less time to train due to work. So we said it's overall an adventure and we want to enjoy it. So that's why we keep rested, so we can enjoy the landscapes.
So you guys, have you guys been looking at trackers?
A bit.
A little bit. Yeah.
We heard that something happened to Dina and Christian.
Yeah.
So they are a little bit behind.
Yeah, it means that you're currently leading the pair race.
Yes.
Yeah, but there's still a long way to go.
Yes.
And hard way to go.
I think there is an optimist one. And there is a less optimist one in your team. But it's good, balance, huh?
Anyway, the first plan is to arrive to Kalamata and have some olives, some good fresh beer. So that's the first plan we keep in mind.
Earlier in the race, Maximilian Searing, cap 264, told us he'd left his knee back in Norway. Sophie catches up with him again to see if he's managed to retain all his body parts since the last time they spoke.
Did you find your left knee?
Yeah, I went to a butcher. asked for a decent knee with high endurance, and he had one.
Oh, perfect. Perfect. Spare parts.
I lost my left ass cheek, though. I'm not sure. No. I don't want to go back, you know, and be like, hey, do you also have a cheek, baby? No, no, jokes aside, it's surprising how well the body can, or my body at least, adapts to this. I don't know. It's the knees are fine. It's crazy.
But
the one thing everybody else shares, I also share. Yeah.
Yeah. What do you do to against that or restart? I don't know.
What do I do? I sit on it. In Hungary, I went to a pharmacy in the middle of the countryside, and asked the person working there if she spoke English, and then she surprised me with perfect English and was like, hey, so you sit on your saddle all day, do you need some cream for it maybe? And I said, yeah.
Yes, I do.
So she knew what was happening, and she gave me Bepanthen for the night and Sulu cream for the day. Just the usual stuff, I guess. And that's what I use. And it's fine, it's working.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
So as I hope you will find the ass soon, as you find your knee.
Yeah, but yeah, I don't know. I think this is going to wait in Kalamata for me.
Yeah.
Former pair partner and Lost Dots man in search of his why, Andrew Phillips, Cap 00A, has sent us another dispatch from the road. Like the tips of his moustache, Andrew's motivation and mojo have drooped without the thrill of the race. Has the magic of the Balkans managed to turn that frown upside down?
I am so happy to be in Bosnia. Crossed over the bridge from Croatia into Bosnia yesterday, and almost immediately the flatlands ended and there was just a bit more colour in the setting sun and a bit more warmth in the local people. There's water available by the roads. I've done loads of little gravel cut-throughs. I just came up a massive gravel climb, which is actually marked as paved on most maps. So some unhappy looking riders up there, but I had fun. And it's just so good to be back in the Balkans. It feels like this is what I came for and that TCR has really just started. So I'm really resolved to enjoy the next 4 or 5 days of riding from here down to Kalamata. It's going to be hot. I think we've got temperatures of like 38, 39 degrees forecast, but it's going to be worth it for the culture and the vibrancy and the roadside water and the hills and the landscapes and everything else. Can't wait.
CP4 in Albania is the last control point before the riders take the long journey south into Greece, onto the Finnish parkour, and eventually Kalamata. Lucas Stripmatter, Cap 197, arrives and speaks to volunteer Lisa, who isn't quite sure what he's up to.
Can you tell us what you're doing at the moment, please?
I'm refilling my drink bladder.
What are you refilling it with, and what's the consistency of the stuff that you're pouring into?
It's like a peach fruit juice, and it's kind of thick, so I'm curious if it's drinkable during the tube of my bag.
Yeah, I think we're all curious to see if it works. When do you hope to be there in Kalamata?
I won't make it like today, so I need to do another sleeping break, I guess. I'm planning to arrive there tomorrow, maybe in midday or afternoon.
Doesn't sound so bad. One more sleep, almost
there.
Yeah,
but I'd rather be there today.
I think we've got a verdict on the pipe. Does it work?
Yeah, but I need to suck very, very hard. It comes out.
Some hard work.
In the Flinter category, two riders have been battling it out right across Europe. As they enter the last couple of days on the road, it's still anyone's race to win. Camille Albissa, Cap 270, continues to push hard. But it's Sarah Boslett, Cap 120, who's first to roll into CP4.
Hi Sarah, welcome and congratulations on making it to the checkpoint as the first sprinter rider.
Thank you.
How do you feel?
Really good. I'm enjoying it again. Yesterday morning I had a total crash. I was crying so much because it was just so horrible. But since then, it's perfect.
Yeah.
And I'm enjoying the race and I'm enjoying what I'm doing. And before I was only stressed because it's so close and so tight. And now I just do my thing and I'm really good.
Yeah. What changed? What made you, what lifted you up?
I don't know, just enjoying what I'm doing. And not looking at the stupid tracker. I cannot influence that anyways. It's such a stupid tool. I don't know. I don't like it anymore.
Are you not checking the tracker anymore now?
I checked it this morning and I was fine. So in the evening I check it, in the morning. But then the rest of the day I just do my thing and that went really good yesterday and I think today it's going to be the same.
It's evening at TCR number 12, and at the finish line in Kalamata, Control Team 1 are poised to welcome our fourth finisher. Joss Koop, Cap 63, has ridden an exceptionally consistent race to earn the nickname Steady Eddie. It's been a brilliant performance.
So, Steady Eddie, how are you feeling about the end of your race?
Not so steady anymore.
Unstable Eddie.
Yeah. Yeah, today the TCR almost broke me, but...
Not an easy parkour to finish.
No, not at all, especially in this heat.
Your final time, 10 days, 23 hours and 33 minutes. You are a 10-day rider.
Nice.
TCR number 12, congratulations, man.
Thanks. Well, normally I do other races, like crits and one-day races. This is actually only the second ultra for me. But what makes the ultra racing so... interesting to me at least is that there's a lot of planning involved and I like that a lot. Managing a lot of things at the same time. The more you plan up front, the less you have to worry about it during the event. So you can let go and see where you end up.
And then you can focus on the experience more as well.
Exactly, yeah. And that's why I was, maybe looking happy, acting happy. Not acting, but actually being happy because, everything I planned up front worked out quite well in the end. And then you can enjoy everything.
Yeah. I mean, if you're happy to say, what does the top tube on your bike represent, Jos?
Well, there's a butterfly on it. That represents a baby that's upcoming for us, for me and my partner. So, she's already been riding all the way through Europe in that sense.
So, already an adventurer at heart.
Yeah, should go somewhere now.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if I'll approve doing TCR in the future, but...
It definitely throws things into question with such major life changes on the horizon.
But yeah.
That's incredibly exciting, Jos. So congratulations.
Thanks.
To you and your partner.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Jos's TCR journey may be over, but Control Team 2 are still out on the road. In fact, they've been driving all afternoon. His race coordinator, Hannah Lobelessier, with an update on what's happening in the closely fought Flinter category.
In Control Car 2, we've just finished our day in Albania. We started off in Serbia this morning, and what should have been a relatively quick drive ended up taking a really long time, getting stuck in traffic jams and border queues, and we were probably making similar progress to the riders. Yeah, we haven't travelled very far, but it's taken us a really long time, and we haven't seen anyone on the road today. I've also just looked at the tracker for the first time in ages. I've been driving for a long time, and excited to see that the first two Flinter riders, we had Sarah coming through at about 1:44 this afternoon, and Camille was 2 hours behind her. And we've had a shake-up for third place on the road now. Lea Hamburger has been stopped since about midday. Looks like she's taking a long rest. And Larissa Unsin has now taken third place on the road. And she's on the approach to CP4 now too. And she'll be passing through there very soon. Meanwhile, Sarah and Camille have already made good headway into Greece. And Sarah's opened that gap up a little bit more, putting maybe another hour into Camille. Our reports from the volunteers at the control point were that both of them seem to be strong and riding in good spirits, but also very efficient and not stopping for very long, just having long enough to eat a little bit of food and top up their water and then be on their way again. So it'll be interesting to see how the rest of their race unfolds, whether they're planning to get some sleep tonight or whether they think they can make it to the finish in one push. So, yeah, I'll be excited to look at the tracker again tomorrow morning and see what's happening.
There's just time for one more race finisher before day 11 comes to a close. At times, Martin Moritz, cap number 2, has seemed to find this a much tougher ride than last year's TCR. But no matter, he's still put together an incredible race to remember. And at 10:55pm, rolls into Kalamata to complete the race's top 5 riders.
Hey.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Let's turn this off. And this as well.
Dick!
Hey, boy, how are we doing?
Mr. Torpedo.
Congratulations, man. Great ride, great ride.
How are you feeling?
Good. Warm.
Yeah. It's a crazy race, eh, Martin? It's been like an emotional roller coaster.
Oh, yeah.
It seems.
That's true.
Okay. Why did you come back?
Oh, those tough questions already. Yeah, I've asked that myself quite often in the last days. I was chasing those highs I had last year. Also, a friend of mine said it to me a few weeks ago. He's Martin, apparently you really like to go through, I mean, you just don't like to circle in a circle, you just want to go through areas and experience stuff, and there's nothing greater than cycling through a whole continent. I was just, whenever you look at the dot watcher map and you see all those dots or your track, and it's just crazy how many people signed up, how many people participate, and I'm so great I can be part of it, and that so many people are able to do this. If it's 200, 300, 400, 500 kilometers per day, day in, day out, to go through a whole continent, to live this freedom. Yeah, it's freedom for me, and it's experience, especially this year, so many countries, so many border crossings, so many different Balkan countries, then the contrast of the really cold north, and now down here I was sweating all day.
Yeah.
And it's just, it feels so huge and so great, and you experience it by hour and border by border, and even though you only get really small snippets, but on the other hand you experience like the real life on the road somehow, and it's just it's huge. It feels like a lifetime.
It's been an action-packed day at TCO number 12. Here's Sophie with a recap.
Time for the recap of the day. Today in Kontrolka number 2, we spent the morning around Svežina in Serbia before a long ride to the parkour 4. Traffic was so jammed for hours that we ended up being slower than the riders. Another great reminder that riding a bike is awesome. Earlier today, one rider told me, "I just want to do well." And that made me wonder, what does doing well actually mean? For some riders, doing well means winning, for others a top 10, for others a top 163 maybe, or simply making the finish before the time cutoff, and for many, just getting to Kalamata. The beautiful thing about race like TCR is that everyone is riding the same route, but not everyone is racing the same way. The most important thing is finding your own definition of doing well and stick to it. Gossip Girl moment.
Gossip Girl is real?
Spotted Maxime Prieur, cap 164, handing out Michelin stars to motorway service station. At this rate, he will finish the Michelin guide before he finishes the TCR. While Maxime is busy writing the restaurant, Paweł Polanski, cap number 8, has volunteered to inspect the toilets. Talk about teamwork! CP2 closed today and 227 riders reached it safely. 102 are beyond the CP3 now and 6 are now on the finish line. Not a huge party yet, but soon. Tomorrow, it's most likely that the first Flinta should arrive. For those of you still out there riding, there is still plenty of time to make it to the finisher party. And for those who missed today's CP2 cutoff, the good news is that the TCR is a bit like a dinner party. Even if you arrive late, you still get dessert. So keep riding. Go and earn that finished. And in the meantime, good night and good ride, everyone.
Remember, you can read Jake's daily race reports from the road on the Lost Dot website, and get regular updates across all our social media channels. Thanks to our race partners, Albion, Apajura, Curve, POC, Supernova, Ride with GPS, and Peak Design.